The story wall that you guys were a part of just a few weeks ago is something he's helped Charlie with. So he's kind of behind the scenes of so many things that are all coming to conclusion here and to fruition. And you get to meet him, and his name is Josh, and he's right here. Let's welcome him. Josh.
Hey. Hey, it's great to be here with you guys. And yeah, Pete pretty much said the first 15 minutes of my intro, so we'll wrap that up. But, no, it's funny because I'm glad that a couple weeks ago, Pete said, hey, we do this colors thing and people dress up crazy. Because when I walked in, if I didn't know that, I'd have been like, what's going on here? I think Cameron was wearing a bunny suit. And so I'm glad he gave me the 411 on that before we started. So it's a privilege to be here with you guys, and I'll try not to walk around too much, but let's pretend that was the thunder. So when I was driving here tonight, you guys probably missed it because you were here. We're going to talk a little bit about just God's greatness tonight and our beginnings. But you know when you're driving in the open road, and it's just like lightning everywhere, and it was so beautiful. And it was a reminder, and it was God, I think, speaking to me and to us tonight of just that reminder that he's so great. And that's what we're going to talk about, his goodness tonight. We're going to talk about stories. We're going to talk about the power of your story. We're going to talk about the power of God's story. How do those two connect? But here's the deal. The gospel story changes everything. It's changed everything in my life. It's changing things in your life. And if you don't know Jesus, it has the power to change things in your life. So we're going to cue the rain right now, okay? And I want him to rain down in your life. Hey, guys, if you could push that button that opens the roof up real quick, I just want to get that going on. So anyway, this weekend, I'll be here tonight. I'll be here tomorrow for 2 days. I'm really excited to talk about some things that I've been studying for years and that we've been, you know, doing research on. Yeah, kill the rain. Thanks. Appreciate that. The gospel story changes everything. And here's, yeah, turn it back up. I'm actually controlling it from my phone right here. Okay, off. Okay, thanks. Bad Wi-Fi. I was thinking about this too. Who is here this weekend because you love sleeping on like vinyl mattresses and you love having no cell service? Just raise your hand. Okay. Four or five of you. Well, I just to get to know each other a little bit, because that always helps. Who is at ISU as a student right now? All right, I can see a lot of hands. I know it's a lot of you. Who's been at ISU for more than 4 years? Don't raise your hand, okay? Who is from Heartland? Any Heartlanders here? Okay. Wesleyan people, College of Nursing. Yeah, there's one. Oh, that was Charlie. He's a graduate. He's an alumni. You know, there's lots of different people here tonight and from different places, different walks of life, but we all have a story. And each person's life is a story that is telling itself in the living. Isn't that a cool quote? W. Bridges, he was like a general way, way, way back in the day. And it's so true that each of you tonight are here and you're living a story. You are in a chapter right now that is possibly at college or maybe you're working right now, you have something else going on. And there are many different pieces to that, and we're going to be looking at that this weekend. But the cool part is that the gospel story is mirroring your story, because it's the story of all stories. So all the people around you at school, your family, everyone is living out a story. And it's kind of interesting we begin to look at it that way. It kind of changes some things. We're going to go through that this weekend. But here's my hope is that as we dig into some science, as we dig into some scripture, as we dig into just some cool intricacies of the gospel, my hope is that our minds are stretched a little bit. Okay, God is so big. He's so massive. If we could scratch the surface this weekend of a little bit more of his greatness, it would be so much. And so that's our goal. But I want to introduce myself a little bit. We look like, there was a nuclear bomb that went off near us. But We just took these a couple weeks ago. That's my wife, Diana, and then Addie. She's our 8-year-old, and she's in third grade. And then Emmy is our 5-year-old, and she just went off to kindergarten, so we're kind of in that weird space. We're like, oh, my gosh, all our kids are in full-time school. But they're a ton of fun. They'll be here tomorrow to hang out. And yes, I'm a girl dad. I'm kind of surprised that usually I'm wearing some kind of pink. Yeah, there you go, pink team. And so, you know, even the other night I went in the bathroom and I was going to brush my teeth. And I heard my wife go, yeah, I got new toothbrushes. And they're just like hot pink. And I was like, I embrace this, you know. I'm a girl dad. I'm good. So pink team, thank you. But so I just want to tell you a little bit about myself, more so just because it's always fun to kind of know, you know, oh, who is that guy up there? My name is Josh Jeffrey. Yes, I have 2 first names, 3 if you count my middle, which is Paul. So if you call me Jeff, I probably won't respond, but I won't be offended either. But I work for Spread Truth Ministries, and I was privileged to grow up in a Christian home, which was a blessing. And let me just say this, and I know this isn't true for all of you, but my parents were saved. They were like first-generation Christians, and they got saved in like the hippie movement in the 70s. And I didn't really know this till I was older, but they lived it out at home and at church and at work. And, you know, for me, that was incredible because God was always been real to me. It wasn't like, oh, we go somewhere Sundays and put on like the pretend face. And then, so I've been thankful for that, that, you know, I really saw them live out the gospel. And that was huge in my life and in the pursuit of ministry. But there's some other things too. I work for Spread Truth Ministries right now. And, you know, if you were to ask me, what do you do? Well, I'm really a filmmaker, app developer, graphic designer, so I'm our chief creative officer, and it's cool because our ministry is in downtown Bloomington. And Pete was kind of saying, I just came off a little bit of a trip this week. I was in Anderson, South Carolina, New Spring Church. I don't know if anybody's familiar with those guys. It's a huge church down there that we were just meeting with their pastors and creative team, and you know, these guys were blown away. And you're going to see some of the stuff and some of the things we're working on, but it's the gospel story. We're telling people the gospel story. Andy Stanley's church, we were down there for a while. And then Elevation Church, I don't know if you have any other CDs. They got great worship hanging out with those guys. And I don't say that to say, hey, look at me. It's been really neat. We started just a grassroots ministry here with like 3 people. We've got to 12 staff now. And these churches are inviting us to come hang out because they're like, you guys are doing awesome stuff. You'll see a little bit of that this week. And but our biggest mission is to get the gospel everywhere. And I don't want to talk too much about this because we got a lot of other stuff to dive into. But it's been really fun just working and using the latest technologies to share the good news of Jesus in other languages. And so real quick, you know, we've got a new animation out. It's amazing, custom scored with a full orchestra, composer, worked on the Minions movie, worked with us, like very cool things that God is doing. You know, we've got viewthestory.com. It's like Pete said, it's tracking. We're sharing. Individuals are sharing the gospel all over our new app. And so this is that map he was talking about. And it's a 72-hour map of people being engaged with the gospel. And we celebrate this all the time. So I get to do a lot of really cool things. And we've been working on these story walls too, which has been fun. But I kind of want to dive in tonight and begin talking about the power of a story. And tonight is a little bit more of a focus on our beginnings. And, you know, if you were to look at any storyline, you kind of have 4 pieces, and maybe some of you like literature, English majors, you know, you know this, but you've got the exposition, which is the beginning. You've got the rising action, which is like a problem. Then you have climax or the high point. And then finally, you have the resolution or some type of end or some type of resolve. And really, what we all need to understand is that for each one of us, you know, there's really those 4 things going on in our life, that every story has a beginning. You all started somewhere, right? And every story has obstacles, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow. And some of the obstacles are beyond comprehension or imagination. And I even know that when I say that right now, some of you are probably thinking about that obstacle right now. And it's probably changed the trajectory of your life. So we're going to talk about that a little bit tomorrow. Every story has hope. And we're love like a good story. It doesn't just like it's terrible and then it ends. I hate those kind of movies, you know. But we're all looking for like, oh, there's got to be something that's going to get us out of this, that's going to rescue us. And then every story has a future, and that's that resolution. And we're going to look a little bit at all these things this weekend. But here's the interesting piece is that for all of us, we're all longing for a better story. Okay? I don't think any of us would be like, oh, I'm good right now. I mean, yeah, maybe life's great, maybe life's terrible. But here's the common thing that I've noticed all around the country, and as we've done research, and as we go to New York City a lot, and we do ministry in the five boroughs of New York with children, with adults. And there's a consistent piece, and that consistent piece is that everybody wants their story to be just a little better. And I hope that you would say, well, yeah, me too. Like, I hope to graduate and get a job and pursue some cool things and maybe have a family someday and, you know, those type of things. We're all longing for a better story. And here's why. Because God has designed us that way. And ever since things didn't go so well in the garden, we're going to talk about that a little bit tomorrow, but things didn't go the way that they were supposed to. And so we're all longing for something better. I want something better. I'm not content with now. I want better. And we can fill those voids with a lot of things, but like we'll talk this week, and there's only one thing, one person that can give you a truly better story. And I can't wait to talk about it until tomorrow night. So as we start with our beginnings, you know, we all have a place that we started. It was, you know, our birthday, we could say. But in our storylines of our lives, there are these moments, you know, that like, oh, I remember something when I was a kid or it was a Christmas. Now, here's what I want us to do tonight. It's a little exercise. Is just to a neighbor. I don't want you to get up. I'm going to give you 60 seconds to tell each other. I want you to think about one story from your childhood, and it's got to be brief, but one great story from your beginnings. Was it a Christmas? Was it? And I'm going to tell you one in a moment, and then we're going to start to look at the science of this a little bit. So think of one great story as a kid. We all got them. Was it a vacation? Was it going to Disney World? Was it this or that? Turn to a neighbor, and I'm going to give you 60 seconds, one person to tell, and then 60 seconds for the other. Okay, so I'm going to give you just a minute to think about it, because I know it's like, oh, gosh. What do I tell? Maybe it was your first day of school, but go ahead and just do it real quick, and then I'm going to tell you a story. Your favorite how about favorite childhood story from your beginnings? Okay, as you bring your story to a beautiful close, sorry to cut you off. I know we could do it all night. I want to tell you a story, and this is just a random story from my childhood, but it's one I remember very vividly. My dad was a PE teacher, and so, like, sports was big. I just remember my mom was athletic, too, so she coached soccer, and then my dad coached baseball and basketball. Pretty cool. But I remember Little League, and I played shortstop mainly, and I pitched, okay? And I remember, I think it was third grade or fourth grade, and it was like the championship game. Okay, now, I was on the Yankees, which happened to be my dad's favorite team, which happened to be my favorite team, so it couldn't have worked out any better. And I remember we were winning, but only by maybe like one or two runs. I remember the last inning, I was playing shortstop, and the coach brought me in to pitch, and I was so nervous because I didn't want to blow it. You know, like, hey, we're winning, we're in the final innings. And I remember the last inning, and it was one of those moments where you know, if you're a sports fan, I was doing okay, you know, walked a guy, base hit, I think, you know, we got an out, got two outs, and then their best hitter came up to bat. And I remember just being like trying to stay composed and, you know, trying to throw strikes. And, you know, he fouled one off, and then I threw a ball, and I threw another ball, and then another strike. And it was kind of that cataclysmic moment, right? And in my head, it's like huge because it was like, it was amazing. But I threw the last pitch, and I struck out their best hitter. And we won the game. We won the championship. I remember throwing my glove into the air, and, you know, we were just like, oh, you know, and like the pylon, and it was great. And I always remember that. And, you know, I think it's maybe a little more epic in my memories than maybe it really was, but I just remember my dad being like, you threw your glove so high, you just, like, took off running, and, like, you guys all tackled each other. And it was just a really, it was a fun story, you know, because I remember playing for a team where we didn't win any games, so, you know, that's the one that I want to hold on to. Now, here's what's interesting about stories and storytelling, and this is why this is so important. This is why we're doing story walls on campus. This is why you need to learn to be a good storyteller. And even tonight, we're going to talk a little about listening. And again, we're focusing on beginnings, but to listen to stories. There's a phenomenal thing that happens when you tell a story. And this all just happened in your brains when you were telling each other a story and then when I was telling you a story. And this phenomenon is called neural coupling, okay? And just recently have they kind of really figured some of this stuff out. And this is so amazing to me. So what neural coupling means is that when I begin to tell you a story, there's two major things happening. We're going to get to the other one in just a second. But your brain and my brain are starting, when I tell a story, are starting to fire in the same zones. So when I begin to talk about baseball and like it's kind of tense and stressful, your emotions are starting to light up. We talk about winning and all I threw the strike and struck him out, then your joy and your happiness starts to go off. So our brains begin to synchronize. Now this is happening non-cognitively, so you don't really, you know, it's not like you're thinking like, oh, this part of my brain's firing. But our brains are synchronizing when we tell a story. And so they've measured this, and so when they have someone telling a story and listening to a story, you know, the part of the test was they had a lady start talking in a different language. This person didn't understand, and it kind of went away. And then she told a story in English, and they watched the brain areas light up consistently together when those stories were being told and were being listened to. There's another thing that happens, and this is amazing as well. It's called the anticipatory response. Now, I'm not a scientist. I just play one on TV. But I did some research on this as well, and this is another amazing thing that happens when someone's telling a story. And what happens is the moment I said I was playing baseball, and even if I didn't have the picture on the screen, I just brought that up to help us a little bit, but even if I didn't have that, what's happening is your brain is such a supercomputer that it's scrolling through again, and you don't even know this is happening, but all kinds of imagery and understanding that you have of baseball. So you're thinking of the field, bases, green grass, glove, people in the stands. And it's going through all these images that you have in your contextual knowledge and in your memory without you even knowing it. So then when I say I was pitching, it's automatically like going deeper into your brain and into your memory because you were already thinking about it, you just didn't know. So when we're telling stories to each other, and we've got the neural coupling where our brains are synchronizing, right? And then we've got this anticipation that our brain is going through all the data it knows about baseball. And it's thinking, you know, if you're hungry right now, it's going hot dogs, hot dogs, hot dogs, you know, nachos. But you're scrolling through all these things. And to me, that's so amazing because you know what? I believe that God designed it exactly that way. And I believe that He designed our brains. And He designed all of us, but He designed our brains in a specific way that we could synchronize better when we tell stories, and especially when they're real stories or true stories. But even when they're not, we connect on a deeper level. Now, this isn't new information, because I think everyone knows, like, if you're doing a speech or some kind of public speaking, you always want to tell a story, you know, because it goes deeper, and that's why. Now, here's what's really cool to me, too, and then we're going to shift gears for a second, but what did Jesus do? If you're familiar with the New Testament, when He walked into places, did He say, do this, do that, don't do this? No, He told stories. And I just looked up today. I had a list of 46 stories Jesus told. Some of them you're familiar with. Prodigal son. You've got the lost sheep. You've got building your house on the sand or on the rocks. He's telling these people these stories. And I know, I'm 100% sure that the reason he did that is because he knew it would go deeper. He knew that he could connect better with the people he walked in the room with or on the scene with. And so, I want to be a good storyteller. I want to be a good listener. I want to understand my own beginnings, and I want to understand other people's beginnings, and I want to understand their whole story, and I really want to connect with people on a deeper level, and you can do that. That's why we're doing these story walls on campus. That's why we're going to be digging deeper with stories, even as the semester goes on. And so isn't that amazing? You hear these things, and to me, science isn't like, we always have this mindset like, science is like so against God. It's actually proving that he's real. I see it over and over again, and we're going to even watch a video clip tonight that proves that a little more too. And so, Jesus, he knew he needed to tell stories, and it's just fascinating. Now, we're going to kind of make a little shift, and I want to begin to talk, I'm going to use a big word here, meta-narrative of Scripture. Okay, and all that means is, what is the one story of the whole Bible? Okay, this is where the gospel story really comes in, and I hope that this weekend you can see the parallels to our stories and our lives. But it's the beginnings, right? Where did the world begin, and some of the bigness, and one of the really important things to me is that, and this has been huge in my faith in Jesus, is that we need to understand, when God created everything, like how big and how massive and how amazing he is, okay? So this is just something that, this stretches my mind, okay? So we just talked to, our brains, and now we're going to kind of jump out to the universe a little bit and talk about the beginnings of the world. And some of these things might not be new to you, but I almost on a weekly basis need to review this and be like, oh, that's right. God's way beyond my imagination. Because sometimes I think he's just one of us. And, he's better than me, but I'm kind of living my own life. But he is so massive. And this is so important for you to understand. So, let's see if this clicks here. God is so big. Okay, and this is going to come back to our stories in a moment, so hang with me. But this is fun. If you were to think about the galaxy, and let's just go to Milky Way, that's our neighborhood, right, in space, the Milky Way galaxy. And actually, let me take a step back. I forgot about this. Let me see if this will come up. Oops. So I remember, I'm going to kind of date myself here. I was born in 1979, so this launched 2 years before I was born. But I remember doing a project on this in, third grade. I'm sure it was just moments after we won the World Series. I just want to bring that up again in Little League. So same year. It was a big year for me, obviously. I don't really know. But the Voyager 2 was $3.5 billion project that NASA created to kind of send this space exploration deal, to kind of go to the end of the solar system. And it was launched on August 20th of 1977. Here's what's crazy. I totally forgot about this project. I did the poster board. I did the whole thing. And it was just last year that all of a sudden on CNN, I got this breaking news thing. It was the Voyager 2 just went into interstellar space beyond Pluto. And for a second, I was like, wait a second, was that the one I did a project on? So I pulled it up, and I was like, that is definitely it. So I had this moment of going okay, this thing, this, whatever it is, it's spacecraft, telescopes, taking pictures, readings of all these planets, has been flying at 35,000 miles per hour my whole life. Okay? I mean, actually, 2 years more than I've existed on this Earth. And it just got to the end of our solar system, which is a handful of planets. And I was mind blown, oh my gosh. And I just read this, and I just kind of sat back. I remember just being, I think it was at my office, and I just sat back and went oh my gosh, okay, I I think I've gone 300 miles an hour in like an airplane, you know, but to be traveling almost 35,000 miles per hour for my entire existence and it just hit the end of our solar system is mind-boggling to me. Well, let's take a step out just a little further. And you, again, you may or may have heard this before, but like I need these reminders of how great and how big God really is. So how many stars do you think are in the Milky Way galaxy? That's our own galaxy, our solar system's in there. Any like science or astrology majors here? You know, there's probably no hands go up because it's like not cool anymore. But I like learning about this stuff because I'm like, okay, this kind of shows me how big God is. Now, remember the sun, that's, you know, what we go around and it's a big star and it's pretty massive and, you know, we go into space and if we don't have those special suits, it like burns us even though it's like a million miles away or how many, I don't even know. I was thinking, how many of those are in just our galaxy? Well, did a little research. That's an estimation. That is just our galaxy. That is just the Milky Way. If you don't know what those numbers are, like me, that's 100 billion to 400 billion, and we're still trying to figure that out. Mind blown, second time. You know, like, oh my gosh, like that is just our galaxy. So, you know, let's take a step back, and you ask, how many stars are in the universe? Now, this is something like they're just completely guessing because we just have absolutely no idea. And it's crazy because I don't even know what that is. Like, it's so many. And this isn't like, you know, the Bible. This is just like NASA and like science exploration. And they're just saying, we think it's somewhere around this number, which, you know, this might be a new one for you. 100 octillion stars that are, most of them probably bigger than our sun or more massive. And this is where I go like, okay, the Bible starts with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And like he was working on this. And it is important for us to understand the theological kind of components of the beginnings of time in the Bible and in creation. And we're going to look at that a little more, but it's just way beyond anything we could ever imagine. This is how big God is. And this is one of those things where I just constantly am like, this is just insane. Now, here's what even makes it more insane. Isaiah 40:26 says this. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one, and he calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. I want to highlight just one little piece of this, is that he calls them out, calls forth each one of them by name, and he's talking about the stars right now. That is how big God is. And then Psalm 147:4 says he determines the number of the stars and he gives to all of them their name. So let's just say NASA's like kind of on the right track. He has 100 octillion names available for each of those stars. That's how great our God is. And that's what happened at the beginning when he was creating everything. Now, I want to show you just a quick video clip. And then I want to talk about our beginnings again and kind of bring it back to us. But anyone here familiar with CERN, like it's that big particle collider over in Switzerland, I think it is, or Geneva, I don't know. This is one of like their head physicists. So he's like one of the smartest guys like in the world, and there's like a team of them. And I just want you to listen to what he's going to say, okay? Now, he does not believe in God necessarily, but he is just giving some science. And this is just like, I just saw this like a couple weeks ago, and I was just like, oh my gosh. Did you hear him say like, well, someone had to be like, care about us a lot to fine-tune everything the way it's set up for us to even exist and even be here. And I mean, really what I'm hearing him pretty much say is like, I'm so glad God did it the way he did it. We just haven't figured it out yet. And maybe we'll figure it out, maybe we won't. I don't think we will. Because if we can figure it out, then it's not big enough, because God is so big. Now, I want to bring it back down a little bit. And if you were at the Monday night a few weeks ago when Charlie preached, I'm recapping because this was so good. This is so crucial for you to understand. And this is where, like, your story starts to change a little bit. And this is where things start to, like, kind of really maybe start to connect and go, whoa. I want to read Ephesians 1:5-6. And this is the Message version. And it's a cool translation. It says, long before he laid down the earth's foundation, he had us in mind. Okay? So he was thinking about you before the foundation of the earth was created. So he had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. And what pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. And Charlie kind of touched on that a few weeks ago about that God was thinking about you before the earth was created. And I kind of, before that, you know, if you asked me, hey, tell me about your beginnings, I'd be like, oh, I was born March 1st, 1979. And that is true, right? But the game changer is that, what if I said, oh, before time existed, God knew me? That's a whole different beginning I'd never thought of before. And when you begin to get a grasp of that, it changes everything. Because then you realize your life isn't just, you know, 78 years, hopefully a few more with medical technology, but that he was thinking about you long ago, and that if you know him and you devote your life to him and you believe in his son Jesus, that your story will go on and on. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night. I can't wait. And so what an incredible truth that our beginnings were not just, you know, if you're 20, it wasn't 20 years ago, or you're 25, it wasn't 25 years ago, I'm 36, it wasn't 36 years ago, it was before the earth was created. That is how great God is. The universe is great. He thought about you before he even created it, the foundations of it. That is mind-blowing as well. Now, I want to read to you, and this is a resource that we've developed. It's one of our Bibles we've created, but it has a kind of an overview of the whole Bible. That meta-narrative idea and of creation. And it's just a great summary. And I want us to talk about that a little bit, because it's extremely important for you to understand that your story is connected to the gospel story, and that we all have beginnings. We're going to talk about obstacles tomorrow. We're going to talk about the hope in Jesus and in the rescue. But I want to read this to you, and it's good to understand this, that how did everything begin? It was creation. The story begins with God, who has always been, he has always existed, and he has always existed exactly as he is now. If it seems confusing, it's because he's beyond what anyone can fully comprehend. In the beginning, God spoke and everything came into existence. By his command, the entire universe was created. 100 octillion stars, or probably more than that, were created. The entire universe was created and filled with a dramatic display of galaxies, stars, and planets, including Earth, on which was a perfect garden of paradise called Eden. Of all the beauty he created, the masterpiece was a man and a woman. God made Adam and Eve in his image to reflect him. They were created with the grand purpose of worshiping him, by loving him, serving him, and enjoying a perfect relationship with him. This is the last paragraph. By God's design, all of creation was in harmony and was exactly the way it was supposed to be. During this time, there was no pain. I like this part. There was no suffering. There was no sickness and no death. There was complete and perfect love. there was acceptance, and there was intimacy between God and man, between Adam and Eve, and throughout creation. And it's important for you to understand that if you read the scripture, and you understand that metanarrative, that your biblical theology is solid to say that God created everything and it was perfect. Because we know, right, that something tragic happened because it's not today. And we've all experienced obstacles, and tomorrow morning we're gonna dip into that. But God did send a rescuer. And his son redeems everything, no matter what you've done, no matter what's been done to you. And so Jesus is so good. Now, just kind of as we come to a little close here tonight, we talked about God's bigness, right? But real quick, as we end, we're going to kind of come down the funnel and talk about that God loves the small things too. I don't have graphics for this, but I just happen to have a pen in my pocket, and they say that I think on the tip of my pen there's like millions of atoms, maybe a million atoms. And it's like, whoa, that's pretty small. But all that big galaxy and universe stuff makes me feel kind of small, because, you know, I'm like, oh man, you know. Have you ever been in a big city? And I don't know, you know, like I was in New York this summer, and you're just like, there's so many people. Like, it's so massive. And you kind of feel like, you know, you're just a little dot in Times Square. Like, it's like ants, you know, and you kind of look down. And you feel really small. But here's the beautiful thing, is that God knows your name, and he knew before the earth was created. I have one more number for you, but it's a number of smallness. And this will kind of close us for tonight, but it's still so good. The University of Hawaii did a study, and they wanted to estimate the number of grains of sand that exist on the earth. So what they did was they measured beaches, you know, kind of like, it's this wide, it's this, and then they did depths too, and they did deserts and beaches. And then they tried to estimate the number of sand grains. And this is another number I just kind of laugh at. You know, you're just like, you know. Sorry for all the numbers. I know you're like, oh, I'm going on a retreat. I have to think like school stuff. There will be a test on this Sunday. That is 7,500,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, how small a grain of sand is. And then if you really understand the beginning of the Bible, what were we created out of? What was Adam created out of? Dust. Just a few pieces of dust, maybe grains of sand. That God is big, but God is so concerned about the small. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. You know, if you're falling asleep, let me connect the dots for you. God thinks about you more than the grains of sand. Well, he knew you before time. He's thinking about you more than you can imagine. And here's the cool part, is that he knows you. And I love what Ben said earlier. I love what Pete said, you know, just about this weekend. You know, it's kind of up to you in some senses that, you know, I've been praying for you. I've been praying that God would move in your heart, that he would take you to a deeper place. But are you willing to get to know him back? Because he already knows you. He knew you before time. He knew you before the foundations of the earth. He actually knows the number of hairs on your head. I don't have any stats for that. But he knows you. Will you get to know him this weekend and for the rest of your life? Because here's the thing, I'm still learning and I'm still blown away. So I end with two quick stories. One is just about his love and his unconditional love, and we're going to, again, talk more about it this weekend. But, you know, unconditional love. Like, you kind of understand it, right? It's just you really love someone. And I thought I had a good grasp of that until I had my first daughter, Addie. And I just remember taking her home and holding her in my arms and going like, oh my gosh, like, I love her like a billion times more than I expected to. And I expected to love her a lot. And I remember holding her and just, you know, if you have kids and, you know, and even if you're like, oh, well, my parents said they love me a lot, you have no idea how great it is until you're like holding your own child. And I remember in that moment just going, oh my gosh, I can't believe how much I love this little girl. And I remember God just speaking to me and saying, like, I love you like a bajillion times more than that. And it's true unconditional love. And man, it took me to a deeper place. And I want you to hear this tonight, that God loves you more than you can imagine or more than you know. Yeah, he's huge and he's big and he's out there, but he is also extremely, extremely interested to know you, to rescue you, to love you in ways that you have never imagined. But if you get to know him, if you devote yourself to him. One more story, and then I want to pray for us. And this one's a kind of a shift a little bit, but you have an incredible opportunity on campus to make a difference with hearing other people's stories and knowing them. And I share this one tonight because, you know, I just want to touch upon a little bit. It's listening. We all like to tell stories, right? I want to get better at listening to stories. And this is kind of that, how do we reach those around us? How do we share the good news? But we listen. I remember that I had some neighbors move in across the street. This is a couple years ago. And just my wife and I were very committed. We want to get to know as many neighbors as possible, even the ones that won't wave to us and pretend like, you know, they don't see us. But I remember we listened and we got to know her husband. We got to know her. And her husband was a little, I don't know, his story of why they moved here seemed a little wrong to me. But she was super nice. They had an eighth grade daughter. And we paid attention. We listened. We got to know them. And I remember one night sitting. I'm at the park. My wife and I went on like a walk. And I think grandma was over watching the kids. And we saw Patty, his wife, walking the dog. But we knew them pretty well. Never seen her walk the dog before. And it was kind of dusk, so she didn't see us at first. I said, hey, Patty. And she was like, oh, hey, Josh, hey, Diana. How are you doing? You know, we're like, oh, good, how are you? She's like, oh, I'm fine. But I knew something was wrong because we listened and then we paid attention and we knew their story. And he always walked the dog. She never walked the dog. And I said, are you sure everything's okay? And I said, I don't mean to sound weird, but I've never seen you walk the dog before. And she bursted into tears and said, my husband left me. That we've lived here a year and a day, and I've just kind of unraveled this whole story that he's been cheating on me, and he moved here so the alimony wouldn't be as much from California, and he's had this whole plan. And I remember going to her house, sharing the gospel story with her, praying with her. We helped change her locks because she was so afraid. And it was a very tragic situation, but we listened and we got to know her. We listened to her beginnings. We listened to who she was. And I just hit on that because a lot of us are talking a lot. And this is both a spiritual and a, you know, even just an interacting with other people. And this is what we're going to close with tonight is, are you listening? Do you know what's going on in those around you? Are you aware of what's happening in your roommates' lives or your, you know, lab partners' lives? And I'm a firm believer that if you are, then I think a lot of things could really change. And then the second part, and this is what I want you to pray for in a moment, just to yourself, is that are you listening to God? Or are you just talking? Or are you just doing your thing? Because he knows you. Do you know him? Do you know what he's calling you to? Do you know what he wants to do in your life? And you may be tired, but I want you to close your eyes just for a moment, and I want you to spend a moment with the same God that's created the octillions of stars, that he's placed the quintillion, quadrillions of grains of sand that you were actually created from, because the word says that we were but dust. And I want you to just say, God, I want to know you. And if you don't know him tonight, then you need to pray that as well, to say, God, show me who you are. Show me that love. I want to know. I want to know who you are. I want to know what you're doing for me, what you've done for me. And just spend a moment with him, because here's the coolest piece to me. There's billions of people on this earth right now, but it's just you and him. He can hear just you, because he's that amazing. He's that big, and he's that incredible. But he knew your name before the foundation of this world. So get to know him. Let me pray for us. God of the heavens, Lord of the earth, that you've created us. God, thank you for your majesty. And for your mind-blowing bigness. But your attention to such detail that certain parameters in physics have to be just right for everything to work. And Lord, I pray for just every student, every person here tonight. God, I pray that they would get to know you more. Oh, that as we looked at the beginnings of your word and the beginnings of some of our stories, that we would realize that we're a part of something much bigger than maybe what we thought we were to begin with. We can be a part of your story. And Lord, as we continue to dig through that this weekend, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to hearts. Oh, that we would be transformed, that we would get to know you, that in an intimate way, through our worship, Lord, through hanging out with other people, through being real, through, Lord, as we talk through some obstacles tomorrow, that we all face them, that you would draw us near to you. And so, God, we love you tonight. We thank you that you're so great. And I ask, even for myself, Lord, I want to know you more. Help me to get to know you more. So God, we love you. Go ahead and just tell him that you love him. Just say, God, I love you. Have you said that in a while to him? And if you don't know him, say, God, show me your love. So Lord, thank you for us being able to be here this weekend. Do stuff that's beyond what we can forecast. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.